Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Are you ready?
What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul.
Is...
It's in my hand, Paul!
Fan Effect.
Welcome to another episode of Fan Effect, sponsored by Larry H. Miller Megaplex Entertainment, also Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. It's the same thing. Best place to see a movie in Utah, and that is the place where I saw the movie that we are going to be talking about on today's episode of Fan Effect, and that is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
Let's get to work.
It's all dark and horny at 12 o'clock.
That's right. Bill Murray and the OGs, that's original Ghostbusters, are back on the big screen, and they're joining with the new Gs, the new Ghostbusters, including Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, and McKenna Grace, to battle the Frozen Master of Evil, to borrow a quote from Bobby Brown in Ghostbusters 2, in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So if we're going to talk Ghostbusters, we have to bring back our guest, John Smith, from Arrow 103.5 in Salt Lake. John,
howdy.
It's good to have you back.
It's 103.5 The Arrow. Thank you very much.
Well, you think I would, like, why would I know that?
No big deal. They changed it like 20 years ago. But
yeah,
hey, that's a different track.
It's not like I do traffic on their station every morning.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, John. Well, and we're also, of course, my co-host, Kellyanne Halverson.
Hi.
Okay, so let's dive right in. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. John's on a clock, so this is going to be a shorter podcast episode.
We guys can keep going.
Thanks
without me
a lot, John. But let's not waste any time. Let's get right in. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is the fourth in the timeline with the original Ghostbusters of Ray Stantz, Peter Venkman, Egon Spengler, and Winston Zeddemore. Ghostbusters Answer the Call is an alternate universe Ghostbusters, which they teased in the end credits scene. And by the way, I will defend Answer the Call because I thought that movie was funny.
Wait, they teased Answer the Call in this one?
No, they teased that it was a parallel universe to the Ghostbusters.
They did?
At the end of Answer the Call.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that either.
That's the whole thing with Sigourney Weaver. At the end, she's like, what's Zool?
Oh, it's because I didn't make it to the end. That's why.
Oh, ouch.
You had to leave. We're not
here to talk about Answer the Call today. We want to jump in with Frozen Empire. Stop it. It was funny. I don't care what anybody says. So here's the thing. Before we get into this, will be a spoiler podcast. If you haven't seen the movie, we recommend, I mean, unless you don't care about getting spoiled, but we will talk spoilers as we go along here. So, you know, use your own discretion if you want to. So we get to Frozen Empire. It's a direct sequel to Afterlife, mm-hmm. where we left Afterlife. John, why don't you recap Afterlife for us?
So Afterlife, you find out that Egon Spengler left the Ghostbusters high and dry, took all the proton packs and everything like that, and moved to Somerville, Oklahoma, which was the home of the mining company, Evo Shandor's mining company. And he was the guy that built the building back in the 1984 Ghostbusters. And yeah, I love how painting. Yeah. That's actually a 14-story building. But no. So they tied in the original Ghostbusters movie from 1984 to present times, which they made the movie in 2018, weren't able to release it until 2021.
COVID.
Because of COVID. And so they kind of had to play fast and loose with a couple of recuts. But here's the interesting thing. I'm going to jump right ahead. I don't know if you were going to get to this.
But that's basically it. So the Ghostbusters get reformed.
There was a huge debate amongst the Ghostbusters fan as to whether or not Ghostbusters 2 was considered canon. Because there weren't a whole lot of references to the Ghostbusters 2 movie in Afterlife. Now,
well, they did away with that quickly in Frozen Empire.
They did!
And they made fun of it, and it was wonderful, and everyone laughed.
Let's be honest. Ghostbusters 2 was awful.
No.
It was a terrible movie. Mm. But me, 12 years old, I loved it. So
until 2 weeks later when Batman was released.
That was also amazing.
Man, that
also,
amazing.
But Ghostbusters 2, like, the story doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a dumb story. But it was a great movie for me as a kid. And that's kind of where I am with Frozen Empire. Right.
Okay.
Like, movie-wise, if you were to pick this apart as a movie critic might, you're probably going to go, What?
I don't want to do that. I want to watch it as a fan.
Exactly.
Well, this is where the disconnect comes because Rotten Tomatoes, which is, by the way, not the ultimate arbiter on movies the way some people treat it, but it's about 45% critics give mostly positive review to it. I would be one of those who gave it a mostly positive review.
Same.
Mm-hmm. And it was like 80-something percent for
85
fans.
For 85 for fans, yep.
That's good. I've seen a lot of terrible reviews about it. A lot of people didn't like it.
Well, you know, it's kind of fun to bag on things more than it is to talk something up. That's what it seems to be like. Yeah. You liked it, but I didn't because if I didn't like it and you did, it feels like sometimes for people obviously I have a more refined taste in things than you because I could never find something so common so delicious.
They like the caviar movie, not the popcorn movie. And I'm there for the popcorn movie.
This is a definite.
Now, I will say this, and I've thought of this specifically because of Frozen Empire. As somebody who sees somewhere between 1 and 200 movies a year now.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot.
That's overwhelming.
And so for somebody who sees 5 movies, this is not a knock on the person who only sees 5 movies. I want to make that very clear.
That's probably.
But for somebody who only sees 5 movies a year, those 5 movies are A, probably ones you're looking forward to.
Right.
And B, probably not, in general, ones that you're going to be like, well, I hated that. Because if you're going to only see 5, you kind of want to hope you'll like the ones that you see.
I'm a pretty busy cat. I don't have a lot of time to sit and watch a movie from start to finish. Right. So if you're right, like maybe 5 movies a year.
So that's what I'm saying. So sometimes the critic disconnect, as I'm finding out, as I've, you know, become a critic and, you know, have to watch more movies, including a bunch that I don't want to watch, or that I wouldn't watch if I had a choice. But with that in mind, suddenly the movies take on a different thing because you see so many more, you start to see like, you know, somebody, my kids aren't going to watch Frozen Empire and say, oh, this is, that scene's coming from this or this, they copied this or this other movie did that scene better or this is, I feel like what they were trying to do, but they didn't do it as well as some other thing I'd seen. And so when all that stuff comes together, you end up kind of tamping down. Like I can't have seen these two movies and put this one on the same footing as the other one
right.
that did it better. So then all of a sudden it becomes, well, I hated Ghostbusters. No, I didn't. You know, for me, my grading scale is a letter grade system. C means it's an average movie. B means it's a good movie. A means it's an excellent movie. D means it's a terrible movie. And F means it sucks.
You couldn't pay me to watch it.
What did you give Frozen Empire?
I gave it a B minus.
Okay.
So it was almost good, but it was better than average.
Okay. That's good.
So I think that makes a good popcorn movie. And when I see 100 movies,
I've seen 100 movies, then that means I've seen a lot to make the average point probably a lot lower sliding scale than somebody else. So when I say it's above average, like that's actually a compliment.
And you're a fan of the Ghostbusters.
I am.
Like, you're
huge
a fan of the original.
Huge fan. And I got opinions about the franchise that we're going to hear today.
I don't want to hold you back, Meg. What? Give me those opinions.
Well, no, we'll get to them. But let's recap what goes down in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And a lot of this is summarized from Wikipedia. And some of this, reading through it, it reminded me why I didn't really catch that. So the opening scene where it's like 1904 and New York firefighters, by the way, they pulled that fire truck out of the station the same way the Ghostbusters car pulled out.
Hook and ladder. Because
I was watching for that, like the style, the kind of like you come out at full speed and then the momentum swings you around the corner. But at any rate, they go and there's the club and it looked like the same hotel that they went to in the first Ghostbusters movie, but I could be wrong about that.
I'm not sure. I don't think that would have been around.
But they went to a club. They went to the old hotel where they first busted Slimer.
Yeah.
That would have been around back then.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. It was a snooty hotel, very much like old school. At any rate, so they go there. People are all frozen. The people break. What I didn't notice is that they were listening to the phonograph. I mean, I saw that the guy was cranking.
The dude's hand was busted off.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
so cool.
My friend's grandma had one of those.
With the wax tubes?
With the wax tube.
Wow.
Yes. So my mind immediately went to like, oh my gosh, Morgan, his grandma, have we had the cylinder? I know what that is. I know how that works. And then I stopped paying attention to that. That's what they were. I didn't realize that there was some connection.
But we don't find out what they're listening to until later on.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah.
But they're all frozen.
We know
then,
something's happened.
Then the lady who looks like Fennec Shand from The Mandalorian traps something in the typewriter ball from those 80s electric typewriters, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What is that thing? What is it? What's inside
we
of it?
We don't know.
Oh, my gosh. It's the Tesseract.
You have been watching Marvel a lot lately.
You've got that on the brain.
That's the MacGuffin of the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, though. That's the plot device that moves the story.
That's what everything's
forward, chasing.
Yeah. So then we go to present day. We get to watch the new Ghostbusters racing through New York.
They're back in New York.
Because there was a time where Frozen Empire was going to be in London, if I remember reading. Or maybe that was just a...
That's where they built the warehouse.
The end of Ghostbusters Afterlife, you see on the Brooklyn Bridge, you see... Ecto One going towards New York City,
yeah, and
Winston going in the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they couldn't have been in London.
Well, in London,
Ghostbusters Incorporated. This is in London.
I can see why you're mixing it up. In London is where they filmed, and so that's where they made the firehouse in a warehouse. Okay.
Maybe that's what it was. Mm-hmm. All right. So at any rate, we get to see them bust the sewer ghost, and we find out that the Ghostbusters containment unit's pretty darn full, which means that there was a lot more ghostbusting going on over the last 40 years than we knew about. But
see, that was my gripe right there.
Is that there was a bunch of history that we didn't ever get to see?
Well, not only that, but they pretty much specifically said in Afterlife that there hadn't been a ghost sighting in nearly 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ray says to Phoebe over the phone in Afterlife, yeah, well, busting ghosts was a gas, and then all of a sudden there was no more ghosts, and then Egon disappeared. So the ghosts are gone, and that was the whole point of Afterlife, is that suddenly ghosts are back. So what happened there, guys?
Well, maybe then they busted so many ghosts since 2021 that now the containment unit's full.
Well, and yet
I was hoping we were going to get to see in it like we did in the cartoon.
Which, by the way—
You get to see the cartoon? I got to watch the cartoon.
You're trapping ghosts and holding them indefinitely? Without trial? That sounds like some Guantanamo Bay stuff.
They tried the trial, remember? And then the brothers who got electrocuted.
The Scaleri brothers! I tried them for murder! Gave them the chair!
Exactly.
I've seen that movie a lot.
And you hated it.
No, I loved it.
Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah.
Oh, you loved it, but you hated the movie.
It's a terrible movie, but I love it anyway.
There is a difference. That's a good point. Anyway, so we find out that Winston's super rich, and there's all kinds of Ghostbuster stuff going on.
He's been researching for 40 years in quietness.
Somewhere else besides the firehouse is where it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray and Podcast have been buying up objects so that Podcast can smash them with a hammer, which is pretty funny.
How great is Podcast in this movie, by the way?
He's adorable.
He's so great.
He's adorable.
Such a great character.
He looks like Freddy from iCarly.
Oh my gosh, he does! Like with
he totally reminded me of Freddy from iCarly. He's the sidekick to the girl that he's got a crush on, obviously. and McKenna Grace, by the way, I like McKenna Grace. I like almost everything she's in. She's an up and coming somebody who I want to watch. But it's still kind of weird to see her with brown Egon hair.
Because she's completely opposite of the character. And that, by the way, that broke my daughter's heart when I showed her that, by the way.
McKenna Grace is blonde?
Oh, my gosh. Well, not that she's blonde, but my daughter is very much a science nerd. She's a science fair kid, and she loves Phoebe. She loves the character. So of course, my daughter came with us to the sneak, and we were watching Ghostbusters. But she saw one of the interviews with McKenna Grace, and she's wearing like a floral dress and has her long
hair. And doesn't look tomboyish anymore.
She's not a tomboy or science nerd like she plays on the movie. And my daughter was crushed. Oh my gosh. But I was like, well, no, she obviously played the character. There has to be some of her in there, right?
Yeah.
And she got the job because she was a huge Ghostbusters fan, even as a kid.
Huge.
Huge Ghostbusters.
You can be a big science nerd and covered in fluffiness and blonde
hair. Of course, and my daughter.
Stop stereotyping, John.
No, listen. This was not me. This was a 9-year-old. And I had to explain to her the difference.
Okay. So, at any rate, we get to see the Ghostbusters are still going on. But then Kumail Nanjiani, who I thought was the best addition to the movie, maybe other than Patton Oswalt. I loved having those two guys
on. I wish we had more Patton Oswalt.
But he brings in a hilarious scene where Ray buys the orb that we saw earlier in the movie, and Ray's PKE meter fritzes because it's so high in it, and suddenly the weird marshmallow ghosts start acting even more
weird.
They're
scared of it.
Oh, yeah. Terrified.
So the mini Stay Puffs.
We know that something in that MacGuffin is going to come back later to play a role.
Well, and it reverberates throughout the city with the Frozen and kind of janks up the whatever the storage device for the ghosts.
Meanwhile, we've got Mr. Peck, who's now the mayor. He's graduated from environmental lawyer to mayor of New York.
I thought he was fantastic in this, by the way.
Well, he played himself.
He was great.
Let me rephrase that. He played everything I've ever seen him in again in this movie.
He was great. Why would you elect him? I'm sorry. We've learned before.
He's like the grown-up version of Johnny Lawrence, because Johnny Lawrence in The Karate Kid was only in 3 movies that anybody remembered, and he played the same bad guy in each one.
Over and over.
Back to School, Karate Kid.
And where the one with the something about the boys. One of the boys.
One of the boys?
Yeah, something where the girl.
Oh, the girl dresses like the boy. And he's also, he's also
just
the
one of the guys.
Yeah,
I think is what it's
that's
called.
Right.
But then you got.
Here's the thing, though.
You got Mr. Peck. Wait, who's he played by?
I don't want to meet William Atherton. I don't want to miss this about William Atherton. And they kind of brush over this. But they're meeting the ghost. Like, he's meeting with the Ghostbusters in the mayor's office after they fix a problem that they created. So they're in the mayor's office discussing this. Here's one thing that they don't really explain, and I thought it was cool that they didn't explain it, and that is that Mayor Peck accepts that the Ghostbusters exist.
That is a big step for him.
They are a city agency, because he says to Phoebe, you're not old enough to be a Ghostbuster. We don't let kids be cops. We don't let kids be firefighters. We can't let them be Ghostbusters. Go be a junior Ghostbuster.
Go hand out stickers.
Pass out stickers or something, which I loved that line, because mm-hmm. that was like acceptance of the Ghostbusters as a necessity for the city, which for him, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a huge step. I agree. And so, but then, of course, that's fun because now the mayor is a nemesis and a known nemesis to Ghostbusters fans. And this, of course, gets Phoebe sidelined. So she goes melancholy to the park and plays chess with a ghost who
she becomes an angsty teen.
She does. Very much so.
No one understands.
But meanwhile, she meets an angsty teen ghost. So they really connect and, we find out that there's something else with the ghost, because the ghost is talking to somebody you can't see. Like, do we have to do this to Phoebe?
Okay, so help me out with this one. This is something I didn't understand about the Melody character.
Okay.
One, she's played by the actor who played Grace Goodwin in Prep and Landing, which is hilarious to me.
You mean the voice
of
Grace Goodwin?
Yeah.
Okay.
She jingle smell. Anyway, that has nothing
to
do with...
She's in Dr. Sleep. That's right.
That has nothing to do with anything. So Melody is... you find out later that she's helping Garaka, the big bad...
Guy in the egg.
Try to trap Phoebe.
The guy in the typewriter ball.
Yeah. Did Phoebe meet Melody first, and then Garaka was like, oh, you need to... Because you know her. I'm going to control you, because he can control ghosts, not people. Right? Find that out. Or did he put Phoebe up to meeting, or put Melody up to meeting Phoebe in the park for that purpose?
I'm going to go with the first one. He took over once he realized there was an inn there.
He was like, oh,
you
know,
like,
a ghost.
Boo, you're not running away. Why aren't you running away? She's like, you're just a ghost. Like,
because I might be attracted to you. Oh, wait, are we supposed to say that out loud?
Yeah, we need to get to that part too.
Yeah, there was definitely some
vibes.
But again, and John, you and I talked about this right when the movie ended. Is that something that as grown-ups we're projecting based on our experiences, whereas kids would watch that and have not a thought about that?
Did Phoebe just need a friend, or did she need a friend?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's vibes. That's all I'm going to say.
There was definitely a vibe.
There was a point where I wondered if the ghosts were going to kiss.
Yeah, yeah.
Like however ghosts Demi Moore kissed in Ghost.
Kind of like that. But it didn't happen. So at any rate, eventually we find out that the ghost is Garaka.
Garaka.
That's from
Garaka is
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Garaka finds a way to get loose gets the big horns back. Of course, it was going to happen. Every time I watch movies like this, I keep hoping that somehow the thing that I know is going to happen doesn't happen, but it always does.
But you know it's going to happen.
I know.
It's a little rewarding, I must admit.
Well, I watch it now as a parent, like, no, don't do the thing that I know is about to happen. Please don't do the thing I know is about to happen. At least in the real world, there's a chance that it doesn't happen.
You're totally going to do it, otherwise this movie isn't going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, as I watched it, this becomes the wish fulfillment for the kids. I mean, really, I would argue that Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is aimed at your daughter specifically.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the next generation, yep.
And to me, that's where I feel like the critic and fan disconnect starts to happen. And this is where mine was, too, for kids. Oh, this is like an A-. Like, they're going to love it because it's aimed at them. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. George Lucas has said always that Star Wars was for 12-year-olds. And part of the disconnect from Star Wars happened when
we grew up.
Kids who were 12 weren't 12 anymore and still wanted the story to grow with them.
Right.
But And that's what I thought Marvel did really well, was found a way to make both the 12 and the 45-year-olds happy.
Exactly.
But with Ghostbusters, and this is one of the things I argued on the movie show that that I want to discuss after we take a break, is I would argue that Ghostbusters, since the first one, has aimed at a younger skewing audience mm-hmm. with each.
You mean since 1984, they've gone younger?
Correct.
With the animated.
But we got to take a break right now, so then we'll discuss that in detail when we come back.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kind of like to stay and fight for this place. We can't leave. I mean, there's something strange. Who are they gonna call? If there's something weird and it don't look good. Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Well, I'm sorry, what was it?
Ghostbusters.
This is the home of the Ghostbusters. We're the Ghostbusters. Can I tell you something else?
It's important.
Busted makes me feel
good.
It makes.
Get out.
That was the end of the whole movie. I hate that it's online so people don't discover it when they first watch it. But having said that, it was still a hilarious line. And
so good.
Doesn't Bustin' make everybody feel good?
Bustin' makes me feel good.
Paul Rudd does so good at that part. Like, he's wonderful. Like,
for me, Paul Rudd was the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. Seeing the OGs great on screen lines. And actually being central to the plot throughout, you know, having Ray be a key person. And Ray,
Uncle Ray,
really.
Or Grandpa Ray. Mm-hmm. Or Dr. Ray. That's what he was.
Doctor.
But, you know, Dan Aykroyd was the co-writer along with Harold Ramis and Ivan Reitman. So, you know, a lot of this is based on Dan Aykroyd's experiences. So when Dan Aykroyd's not like in it, I feel like we're getting robbed of something a little bit. That's what I think. So
we're getting robbed of Ray's character.
He's like the essence of Ghostbusters. I know that a lot of people think of Peter Venkman as the essence of Ghostbusters.
No, Peter says in the first movie, the heart of the Ghostbusters, Ray Stantz.
Right. No, but Ray is the heart of the Ghostbusters. So having him more central to the plot, I thought made this even better. If Ray had just been sort of an ancillary, because Peter Venkman's in it, but it's more than a cameo, but it's not a full central role. Mm-hmm. And if Ray had been limited to that, I feel like this would have been a worse movie because I just, you know, it's him. And
Well, Ray's the heart of it. He's the one that he wants to spend his golden years doing what he loves, which they talk about in the filming. He wants to keep doing the ghost busting no matter what.
Yeah, and that's actually Dan Aykroyd too, I think. Mm-hmm. But having him be central to the plot also kind of gives me a mental, soothing of, look, he's not going to be this central without helping shape the story, without helping fix dialogue and all those kinds of things.
Right.
But this goes back to why each... I think they're smart for aiming at a younger audience, like I said. Because if you look at it, 1984 Ghostbusters, that was not a movie for kids.
Almost a horror movie.
It was not a movie for kids.
Yeah.
It would have been PG-13 if that rating had existed in 1984.
Very much so.
It was adult. Like the producer for the movie show finally watched the first Ghostbusters for the first time over the weekend.
He'd never seen it?
He'd never seen it.
Oh my gosh.
But he was laughing at it and he thought it was funny. I was like, but tell me, is that a kid's movie? He's like, no.
I said, but we all watched it.
Thousands of kids watched it. Yes, yes. Millions of kids watched it. And kids
some of
the
stuff
since.
Went over our head, but
yes, and that was a key, I think,
compared to the other stuff that we watched in the 80s. That was extremely
tame. Yeah.
But it was aimed at grownups. I mean, one of the things he immediately said is, "Boy, Ray with the ghost," and I was like, "Yeah, I didn't know what was happening in that when the first time I watched it, but I sure did later." So, but that's what I'm saying. So the first one was aimed at adults, and kids saw it. And so the humor was more sharp and biting. They created great characters, and then the things that they said made the lines funnier because the characters were funny, and they were played by people who we knew going in were funny, and we'd accepted was funny. And that's, I think, one of the reasons I liked Ghostbusters Answer the Call. I actually liked each of those female Ghostbusters for their funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked them as comedians first, and then I enjoyed kind of them playing on those things in the movie. But this one, now the new Ghostbusters aren't comedians anymore, although Paul Rudd is generally liked and accepted and is funny, but he's not a comedian. So Ghostbusters, the original, had all of those things working for it, and then it set a precedent that it was difficult to match. Ghostbusters 2, which you loved as a 12-year-old but isn't generally well remembered,
right,
is because that was 4 to 5 years after they had a 5-season Saturday morning cartoon where they had taken all the characters and put them into a much more family-friendly
way. It's the Batman and Robin of the Ghostbusters universe.
Sure.
They made that one to sell stuff.
And
that
it worked.
I loved the cartoon.
I loved the cartoon. I watched it. My friend across the street had all the little figures, and I loved it. But
you and I mentioned the other day that it has not aged well. And I watched a lot of them over the weekend. It has not aged well. It's not nearly as good as I remember.
I've only seen a few here and there. I just remember I loved Slimer. That was like my favorite.
Well,
I was so happy to see him again in this one.
Every kid loves Slimer.
There were three different cartoons.
Slimer was the only part of the original Ghostbusters.
Well, I saw more of the 90s versions of the Ghostbusters
cartoons. The
extreme
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and so I was kind of confused when I went back and kind of watched the original Ghostbusters as more of a grown-up kid. I'm like, where's Slimer? But you don't fight Slimer. He's like your friend. So.
Yeah, so and then Slimer in this one, of course, lives at the Ghostbusters mansion under a pile of garbage that he probably ate himself. And so, but anyway, they've skewed more towards younger ever since, and that's okay, because if that's the direction they want to go, they can. But I think that's why people go in hoping for original Ghostbusters, and then there's some disappointment when it comes out more kiddie Ghostbusters.
But like,
makes sense.
This new generation, though, it's a bit more mature and warm and like family. It's matured with the second generation's maturity. So, like, now I don't just expect it to be funny. I also expect it to have a warmth to it, which I feel like we really got with this one, with the family dynamic within it and more.
She called me dad.
Right. But think about the original Ghostbusters. Kids and adults loved it. But here, the kids love it, and the adults are kind of like, "Nah."
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying it's matured with time into something new and different. It's not just going to be.
I'll take that.
The funny.
Well, okay, and I'm glad that the kids like it, because I felt like it was aimed at them. So the kids shouldn't care what I thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing is, like, I don't want to spoil the plot for you, other than this episode. But like, I wouldn't do it in my review on television or on the movie show.
You say spoiled. Was there really a plot? I mean, was there really?
This had more story than the new Roadhouse remake. The Roadhouse remake was literally set up to have Jake Gyllenhaal fight Conor McGregor.
I haven't, but the original Roadhouse was terrible too.
And well, it was.
For that very reason.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, but at least this tried to tell a whole story. Mm-hmm. And they tried to have character development and arc. So Phoebe, you know, learned that, yes, sometimes you got to wait a little to grow up, but hey, and this is where the kid wish fulfillment comes in. Mm-hmm. And this is always what kid wish fulfillment has been. The adults underestimated us, and we're the ones who fixed it.
We're going to save the day.
That's why we love movies as kids, was the kid saved the day, or we imagined that we were the kid who could save the day.
Like the Goonies.
Like the Goonies.
It's the underdog story. We all love the underdog story, no matter what age we're at.
Yeah, until you're the parent, when you're like, totally get why they took her out of the Ghostbusting. It makes perfect sense.
It's like, Ariel, no, you are a child. You're 16 years old. Go into your room.
So
this, by the way, this is why you don't keep friends secret from your parents.
Yes.
Because they're going to turn out to be double-crossing, backstabbing ghosts.
Yes, yes.
That you may or may not want to kiss.
You may or may not want to kiss, depending on how old you are when you watch the movie.
I like the expansion of the lore in the movie, though. Like, learning about the fire keepers that were Ghostbusters before we had proton packs and things like that.
Before we had actual Ghostbusters.
Yeah, before actual Ghostbusters. Was that something from the animated series or the previous lore that was explored?
I would argue that that was probably the most underexplored part that could have been more interesting.
I want to know all over the world.
Well, that's going to be the next movie.
Maybe.
It depends on if this one does well enough.
I'm the fire keepers.
It's an expensive IP to produce, especially with, like, Paul Rudd and, you know, the original Ghostbusters, I'm sure, get a chunk of it.
I'm sure.
But, so here's the real question then, because, John, I know we're running out of time with you. Where should Ghostbusters go from here after having seen it?
I don't think you need the OGs in it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they need it to be in the last one. I'm glad they were in this one because it was great to see Ray and Winston continuing their friendship and having it develop into the, you know,
respect, and everything.
Yeah. Guys that are,
and
like,
I love, like, the Ghost Research Center and things like that too. Like, that
I thought
was
that
awesome.
Was really, really cool. I love that we see Peter working in a professional capacity as a college professor that's still kind of, you know, throwing pens at people, and you know, he's still, you know,
that was
still
really
very
funny.
Much Peter Venkman. But I don't think that we need.
By
to
the way, did you notice
that
in the background when they were using the ghost blaster, the juice sprayer from Ghostbusters?
Oh yeah, the
slime blower.
The slime. What do they call it?
I don't know.
They called it.
You watched it over the weekend.
I tried to remember. I can't remember. But yeah, they did have that in the background. That was great. But you didn't see. We don't really need to see them. You know, continuing on. I think we could have another movie
with Kumail Nanjiani.
New cast.
Mm-hmm. Although I have to admit, his firebending power was kind of lame. I'm sorry. That was the only thing. I was like, turning the candle, kind of funny, but
he doesn't just bend fire. He controls.
He controls it once he figures it out.
Well, so my next question is he of the firebending tribe?
Yes.
And have they mastered time and dimensional travel to come to this world? Or is our world just
descendant?
I was going to say, is our world just a much later version of the Avatar, the Last Airbender?
Like the Freemasons. World. He just passes it on.
There
I don't
you
know
go.
If that's a Freemason thing. Sounds like something they do, based on my knowledge of National Treasure movies.
Yes.
But no, so I think that we could have McKenna Grace and Finn Wolfhand and podcast.
Hard.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Finn Stranger Things. If we could. I don't even think that we need the Paul Rudd and Connie Kuhn characters anymore. I think we could probably have
I actually feel like Carrie Coon was criminally underutilized because she's a good actress.
She didn't need to be there. I wish she would have been used
more. But that's because they didn't use her that she didn't need to be there. She could have been used there. She played almost, weirdly enough, she played almost the teenage boy role in a family dynamic. She's like just sitting on the couch flipping on her phone while she's like, go take care of that.
See, I saw more of her because I saw more of the mother-daughter dynamic there.
Well, there was that too.
Yeah.
But it was the kids that were doing all the solving and everything, and the grown-ups were kind of useless.
Oh, that's, you're 18. You keep talking.
Which is what kids love.
Go do it.
Better or worse.
I think the next one we could just have the kids. I don't think we need Carrie Coon or Paul Rudd.
I kind of want like an international explore the research stuff. I totally want to ride as
well.
Because
you got the British. You got British guy.
Yeah, yeah. And then we've learned more about the Fire Masters. Let's go look around the world, the different types of
ghosts. How did they contain ghosts before 1984 when Ray and E? Well, right. But like, how did other parts of the world figure it out?
I want like a series. I want to explore it.
That's
all.
Where I was going to go. I feel like, and I'm with you, I feel like the story of the original Ghostbusters on screen is complete. I'm
they
glad
didn't
we
need
got
to capture ghosts because there was an international cross-rip until night from the Tunguska blast of 1909.
Yeah, but something must have sealed it there in the first
place. By the way, it was the same year that the fire.
You have to say that there was earlier cross rips.
The Tunguska blast of plays up with the firehouse scene at the beginning of the movie. And then the cross rip in 1984 is when the Ghostbusters happened, and then it happened again.
But we know there has to be some ghost activity going all over the place because they're somehow filling up the ghost.
There's a plot hole big enough to drive.
So here's the problem. This is why I think they should go to series for Ghostbusters from now on, because the first one was so well written that we learned these characters, and in 2 hours, and I would argue that we're probably better back in the 80s at creating things out of
just
nothing.
The internet didn't destroy it.
Yeah.
Or just, you came up with the idea yourself. And even if somebody else, like in Nebraska, came up with a similar idea, there was no way to connect the two.
Yeah.
So you couldn't say that one stole it from the other. But now with the internet, you could just claim, oh, yeah, I posted this on my Twitter 5 years ago where I said something like, what if there was a ghost that could shoot cold? And now they stole it for Ghostbusters.
Which, by the way, can I just ask one question?
Of course.
What was Garaka's motivation? Like, what was he thinking? Did he just want to destroy the world for no reason at all?
No, he was coming back because they told his story.
Why?
Because he was too powerful, and so then they trapped him, and now he's like, oh, yeah?
Why was he?
It was just power.
He had horns, of course.
He's creating a new ice age.
Gozer and Zool had a purpose. Even Viggo had a purpose. He had something he wanted to do. Garak is just like, hey, man, I'm going to make some icicles and freeze you guys for no reason at all. Check out my horns.
He was going to bring out a new ice age.
Why?
Because reasons that are not fully explained.
They're not explained at all.
Fully explained. The reasons are he was mad that he was trapped, and now he's out, and he's blue like a genie, and he got his horns back.
We never got the Pop-Tarts.
How Graka got his horns back was the alternate title of the movie.
It's actually Firehouse, but.
And he tried to go and romance, her name? Angela Bassett down in.
That's a whole different
person. Garaka, she wrote.
She's on that side of the paranormal.
Aren't you glad you invited me on this?
So, we're going to blow out eardrums with this. I'm looking at the levels on this.
I'm going to have to edit.
But at any rate, but I think going forward, series works. But again, so back to what I was saying is that they developed these characters really well. And we got to know them. And then we had a cartoon series where we got to know all of them individually over, 80-odd episodes.
Yeah.
And then when Ghostbusters 2 rolled around, for all the fans who'd watch Ghostbusters, we knew 5 years' worth of stories to go into Ghostbusters 2. And then we had nothing. And then in Frozen Empire, in Afterlife, we get introduced to Egon's family, but we spend half the show not realizing they're Egon's family, unless, like, you who'd read the script beforehand.
Yeah, I did.
I thought it was obvious it was Egon's family.
Well, I mean, it didn't take long to
figure
it out.
By the way, the original script would have been a much better movie.
You talked about that last time, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so go back, which, by the way, you can go back and check our old podcast. But now we have a series. We either need to go to cartoon with these guys again, or...
I think we do Netflix series.
Or Netflix series works.
Yeah, even animated Netflix series.
I think it doesn't even have to be one of those 12 episodes where you're telling a 12-episode arc. Nothing is more primed for a blank of the week than a ghost of the week.
Yes.
That's what the cartoon proved. That's what the cartoon proved.
And I love like that. When they get lost in the overarching arc, like Supernatural and stuff, I get bored. Like, I want to have the little
fun. I don't get bored. But this is one that lends itself really well to having a different thing each week. And then you can have an episode where you get to know Finn Wolfhard's character really well.
Finn Wolfhard.
Or you get to know McKenna Grace's character a little bit better. Or even you get to know Carrie Coon finally after a couple of episodes.
What
happened to the boy's dad? Like, we get to have all those things where now we can have a more fleshed out thing. So that's where I think the future of Ghostbusters ought to go, is to series. It's already aimed at kids. That's fine. Not everything has to be about my generation. We are to pop culture. My generation is to pop culture and trying to destroy it for our own selfish ends. What the previous generation is to literally everything else in the world.
We're already at the point where
destroying everything. Social security, politics, everything. That would be the baby boomer generation.
And Fletch in the same year. Like, why? What's next? We've got a new Beverly Hills Cop coming out.
We do.
Why?
Nobody needs to see
that. Because we can't let go, John. We can't let go.
It's money-making.
I'm going to go back to one thing here really quick. Talking about the series, we had a new ghost every week on The Real Ghostbusters, yes. Right? But there was one ghost that kept coming back and that they never beat. I've watched them all several times. They never beat Sam Hain. So Sam Hain could come back.
I don't even know who Sam Hain
they
is,
introduced
but I want
him
to know.
Fairly early in the series,
and
too.
He kept coming back. Like, they couldn't beat him. He's got a pumpkin head.
Oh.
He's like a pumpkin head man.
I would like that. Thanks. I
yeah,
love pumpkins.
He was a really cool character.
Cool.
So there you go, Ghostbusters 3. There you go, John Reitman, whatever his name was.
Jason.
Jason Reitman, who was the cameo in Ghostbusters 2. Just saying.
He was a kid
at the birthday party. Hey, my dad says you're full of crap. He just says you're full of crap, and that's why you went out of business. That was Jason Reitman.
So let's take
also,
a break.
Ivan Reitman's daughter is in the scene with the. There's a lot of nepotism in that movie.
But it's okay because the nepotism gives us.
Nepotism
like
started with the writing and it moved straight onto the screen. Well, we got to take one more break, and then when we get back, I want you to say what was your favorite part of Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire, and what is your favorite part of the entire Ghostbusters franchise history.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You stay inside this car.
I have a ghost to bust.
All right, that was cool.
Harry, come on.
No, I know, I'm sorry. It's just the way she said it. It sounded cool.
Paul Rudd had all the best lines, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Very weird.
Is he the Peter of the new Ghostbusters?
Yeah, but more of a less mean-spirited Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He's somewhere between Ray and Peter.
Finn Wolfhauer is the Peter, I think.
Well,
he's got...
Phoebe's the Egon and the Ray.
Yeah, it could be.
And Carrie Coon is...
She's Winston.
Carrie Coon is the...
She's the one who doesn't
really
know
what
she's doing.
She's the Egon as far as not in on all the jokes.
If you weren't a Spengler, you'd be answering our phones.
Ooh, how heartbreaking.
Oh, that was such a burn.
Mm-hmm. Was that from Peck?
No, that was from
daughter.
Phoebe.
Oh, that was from Phoebe.
Mom.
Oh, right.
Such a burn.
Because that's how teenagers are to the parents. That ripped my heart a little bit because I could see two of my daughters saying that to me. One for sure. One may not be too late.
I watched Andy Farnsworth's daughter give him the finger while he was riding on a parade float.
That'd be the way with the imagined.
We were on the 24th of July parade float.
Wait.
And he's up there dancing. And he's like,
I twerk.
That's my daughter. And he starts twerking and she gives him the finger in front of all.
To be fair.
The double finger is, I disagree with you, but I don't want to fight
deuce.
Right now. Like,
to be fair, it wasn't until the point where I yelled out, I made her that she finally snapped.
You deserved that.
The voice of Salt Lake City's movies gets a double deuce from his daughter at the 24th of July Pioneer Day Festival.
In our family, double deuces. I disagree with you, but I'm not going to fight right now. And like we've just accepted that. So that is, I'm going to say you knew that.
Steering us back onto the subject of Ghostbusters, what is your favorite part of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and what is your favorite part of all of Ghostbusters?
My favorite part of Ghostbusters Empire was part that only got like 5 seconds. And that was the evil Ecto-1. I thought that was so cool. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of that.
When it tried to back over him?
Yeah, and the lights turned red, and then it was gone. But I would have loved to have seen that.
I thought there was a ghost driving that.
There was.
It was the Possessor.
But it was evil. Evil Ecto-1.
It went red, so we knew it was evil.
No, my favorite thing of the new Ghostbusters movie was seeing a true development of the characters that I have loved my entire life. Literally, I have loved these characters. Like a lot of kids were into Star Wars, which I was too, but a lot of kids were into sports. Ghostbusters was my franchise. Like that was my.
Even more than G.I. Joe?
Even more than G.I. Joe.
Oh, wow.
Ghostbusters was number one on my fandom list. So seeing a development of the characters that I know and love that I actually agreed with, like, oh my gosh, they wrote them perfectly. So I thought that was really cool. So that was my favorite thing. And then overall, as a whole, I don't know.
You couldn't pick one?
I couldn't.
Pick a couple then. Come on. Something comes to your mind.
I love that they use. So if you ever watch an interview with Dan Aykroyd, you know, he grew up in a family of actual like paranormal investigators.
And that's what I was saying when I was talking about how Dan Aykroyd's like, as much the soul of Ghostbusters, because kind of it was his idea.
How did I not know that?
Oh yeah, so like that was his childhood.
That is awesome.
So a lot of the stuff that they talk about, like the Tunguska blast and the symmetrical book stackings, and
he didn't make that stuff up. That's not gobbledygook.
That's all legit paranormal investigative.
I knew that because I'm just a weirdo that likes paranormal.
And you live in Tooele, where there are ghosts.
That is true.
Supposedly,
that's true.
Supposedly,
if you believe in ghosts. Which I don't, but they use like legit stuff. They don't use like Star Trek gobbledygook.
There's just paycheck involved. I'll believe anything you say.
But I thought that was cool, and I think that I love that they didn't use as many fan service callbacks in this one as they did in the last
one. Oh, dude, I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that.
So
really,
there was a billion of them.
Well, yeah, but they were.
In fact, I think it was built as much on. That was its appeal to our generation because it was aimed at kids. Was it the way to get us was to throw in all the things that we
didn't see as many in this one as I did in Afterlife.
There's a ton in Afterlife, but this one definitely has a lot.
Now that's fair, and I hadn't watched Afterlife recently to have a comparison. I just remember thinking, "Oh, there's
like
tons."
Like finding the Nestle bar in the suit and finding the Twinkies in the glove box. Like it was so obvious. Like, hey, in case you forgot what you're watching,
this is what you're watching.
Hey, check it out. So there were a lot of callbacks and there were a lot of references.
You have
to the
librarian
original.
Back.
Mm-hmm. But I would have loved to have seen like a Vigo painting like in the corner that was just kind of completely ignored, you know, something like that. But
here's the question: is Vigo in the ghost trap?
No, he was destroyed.
Okay,
they destroyed Vigo, the scourge of Carpathia, the sorrow of Moldavia. In the castle of pain, I sat on a throne of blood.
That's some practical. That's almost Shakespeare right there.
Is what that is.
That is practically Shakespeare. Hi, Kellyanne. Favorite part of Frozen Empire?
Favorite part of Frozen Empire? I want to spend all the time in the world in that cool research department built in the aquarium. Like, I love the idea of exploring the science of the supernatural and seeing all the different ghosts and stuff like that. I want a ride where that's like the main part of the queue and they have really cool stuff. And then you go like on a dark roller coaster where there's projections of ghosts. I've thought it out completely. But I love that idea of let's get more into the science of ghost busting and there's all this history and stuff we can explore. So like almost my favorite part was I want to springboard into more. And then probably my favorite of Ghostbusters of all time is I am just in love with the little mini Stay Puff marshmallow guys.
Like, those are pretty dang cute. That's hard to argue.
I giggled so much, particularly in Afterlife when you first kind of see them at Walmart. And they're just so happy to be like...
To be killing each other.
And in a blender. And I was so glad they brought them back. I just think they're cutest, adorable.
Sharpener. Doing it with a smile on their faces is what clinches it, though.
Yes.
They're
100%.
Not looking tortured. They're like, hey, look at this.
Look how funny this is. I think... like grew up, I loved Slimer so much, and I don't know why, because I barely watched the cartoons or saw the
every
movie.
Kid just, loved
it,
Slimer.
It was always
every
a Slimer.
Kid.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, it's these new mini
He's
marshmallows that I just
he
am in love with.
Hear you, Ray.
He's right here, Ray. He's
Ooh,
looking
he's an
at
ugly
me.
Little spud.
I think he can hear you, Ray.
But yeah, so I love the whole world and everything, but just kind of how we can continue to explore is what I'm excited for.
Okay. For me, the best part of Frozen Empire, I just loved, I think Paul Rudd was the best. And I wish that we got a little bit more Patton Oswalt.
Yes, please.
Because he was fun as the research guy down in the basement at the library. And Kumail Nanjiani, the weird firebending aside, he was funny. I think he's one of the funnier actors in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And they played to his comedic strengths. And so I would love to see more of him. And then my favorite thing about the whole Ghostbusters franchise is the funny part. Like I'm not a horror fan, but I can stomach horror when they mix in a lot of humor with it. Like if you can get me to laugh, I'm going to be more favorable towards your horror movie. And Ghostbusters, I mean, besides the theme song that was so catchy, I mean, I played the soundtrack to Ghostbusters 2 over and again. I got a copy on a tape.
You got Bobby Brown.
Bobby
you got
Brown.
Oingo Boingo.
Yep.
You got.
I can still recite the lyrics to I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. I remember the time I visited the grave.
Oh, yeah.
My life on the line. Only
but my life was saved.
Yeah. Of course, we're
all
saved.
By myself. Yeah. No, I could go the whole thing. But Control by Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great song.
So.
Also, Jackie Wilson.
It's the experience of all of it as opposed to any one moment. But for me, it's really the humor. When they would just land a great line, I just loved that. And so my favorite parts of Frozen Empire was when they landed a great line. And I was watching it with my younger brother, and I fully agree, as I thought about it, this would not have been quite as funny had I not watched it with him. I think I would have been probably even a little more critical if I hadn't been there, him with us laughing at the same kind of jokes and
finding
the same things funny. That elevated the enjoyment. And with a lot of movies, if you can watch it with the right person, you'll like it better than if you do without it.
Full of fans and fellow Ghostbusters.
Yeah, we had
cosplayers.
People in full Ghostbuster, the local Utah Ghostbusters.
The
Salt Lake Ghostbusters.
So to me, I'm cool with it going forward, and I'm okay if they go younger. I'm getting to be that way about a lot of things. Where I'm finally willing to let go of having it have to be for me and
it's
what can I
me.
Get out of it. I know, and I'm okay to let go of some stuff.
I'm curious what the millennials are going to do with their pop culture. Are we going to see?
Well, they're already doing it.
We've already
got an iCarly reboot, for crying out loud, and it's over after three seasons.
We've seen the continuation of That's So Raven.
Yep.
Let's see. We got a new Power Rangers movie.
Yep. We've got Fuller House. We've got
SpongeBob is still on. Yeah, Fuller House.
SpongeBob. They had to really brought back SpongeBob and continued
I think
it.
Fuller House was for
our
us,
generation.
Musical version. We have a musical Mean Girls.
Are you technically a millennial?
I'm a millennial. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm a Gen X. John, are you Gen X?
Oh, I'm the Gen X. Yeah.
You're the tail end of Gen X, though, right?
How dare you? How dare you?
You're the lower left leg of the.
Have
X.
you seen how he dresses? Come on.
That's a good point. And what you're into? It's a good point. But what I'm saying is our generation set the template of not letting go, and we are what has made IP more valuable than original content. And so that's why I say our generation is kind of responsible for
it's one more thing we've ruined for you, Kelly.
Well, but for the lack of quote unquote lack of creativity in Hollywood and lack of originality in Hollywood is we voted with our dollars and we voted with our loud online yelling of what we want, and what we want is more of what we had before.
Yeah.
There's a reason that they haven't done a modern reboot of Howdy Doody, and there's not a modern reboot of Leave It to Beaver. All they did when they rebooted those was made fun of them in the mid-90s.
That's right.
To hilarious effect. And that maybe that's what will happen again in a few years when we're even older, and then the millennials and the Gen Y start doing Transformers parody kinds of things, and then we're angry at them.
I wonder if it's too late to go back and do some of that stuff. Like, is it too late to get... To get Vin Diesel in My Three Sons.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. See, I grew
well, we did. It
PBS
was called The Pacifier.
Type stuff, so. I watched a lot of those as well. Like, I grew up on I Love Lucy and things like that.
Peter
Everyone's...
Quill is Mike Brady. I forget his name. What's his name?
Chris Pratt?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that
he
guy.
Did everything else. Why not?
So, I think it's, I hope Ghostbusters keeps going. I'm okay if they don't come back to the big screen. If they do, I'll watch it. But I have a hard time believing, unless they do something radically different, that it'll ever reach what it was before. Mm-hmm. John Smith, Arrow, 103.5 The Arrow.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on with us. When we do, when we finally get the final season of Cobra Kai and it's time to recap the whole series,
yes,
we'll have you back for that one for sure. And if we ever do anything related to G.I. Joe, we'll make sure that you're on there too, because I've
seen
the picture of your room with all your G.I. Joe figures on
you
the wall.
Come
I've been following your mustache march with G.I. Joe.
Do you even have to ask?
The greatest mustaches in toy history were in the G.I. Joe line. I've been celebrating with one a day on the Arrow's Facebook page. Today was Leatherneck. He's got a great handlebar mustache.
If you're in Utah and you don't listen to it, 103.5 The Arrow, John and Sam in the mornings. Hilarious. Their traffic guy is awesome from what I've heard.
He's pretty good.
But
you mean Jason Jones?
Ouch. Follow them on Instagram.
Yeah, 103.5 The Arrow.
Yeah, and John does good stuff. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks, man.
Kellyanne, always a pleasure.
Yo.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fan Effect, a KSL News Radio podcast beyond sci-fi, fantasy, gaming, and tech. We're excited to share with you our knowledge and arguments on everything pop culture and fandom. We're based in the beautiful Beehive State, and Fan Effect celebrates Utah's unique fan culture. And we're excited to bring you local guests like John Smith to feel the same way. I'm Andy Farnsworth, and Kellyanne Alverson. I turned off her mic. Sorry, Kellyanne. Anyway, we invite you to listen. If this is your first time listening, listen on your favorite platform at kslnewsradio.com or anywhere else you get your podcasts. The KSL News Radio app's a great way to do it. And if you have a fun idea or local fan culture topic you want us to explore, let us know. Message our Facebook page at Fan Effect Show, EFFECT, where you can also get the latest nerdly updates and join the conversation. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter or X, whatever. Thanks for listening again. Hope to have you back soon for another episode of Fan Effect.